Why you give me Corabella? That's terrible. Cyril with his mask.
I should check it again. My thing. It's like the COVID mask. Yeah.
It's like 5 years ago, hey? Unbelievable.
It's scary. That's crazy.
All right. So Cooks Kuhle Songos is here with us this morning, and we are talking about all kinds of crap, bakuzis and things. Hopefully we can leave that in the past. But you wanted to ask about a Singles Day burger special. Now, I didn't know this was a thing.
Oh.
So what, if you're single, you get a... There's a burger special?
No, I saw this on... Was it Monday? So it's like 11-11, like, you know, 11th of November.
Oh,
like,
right, okay.
So there's like Singles Day, because it's the day for everything. And then, you know, you scroll on the internet, and then this Muse Cafe had this 11 Rand burger and chip special.
That's a good deal.
And you remember in Joburg Monday, it was pissing with rain. People were standing outside queuing.
For sure.
For this burger.
For 11 Rand.
Because like my thing was like, one, like I don't never trust a burger that's 11 Rand. Like, like there's the queues. People are like standing there queuing. But my thing, do you think, because it's a Singles Day burger, do you think people are going there to find love or like, listen, burger first, and then I'm like sort of fine?
I don't know, because there was this thing in Spain. We actually covered it the other day on the show. Look at that, 11-11.
11-11.
Wow, 11 Rand for a burger and chips. I mean,
also, I don't know, this is like items not sold separately. Oh, look.
Well, you've got it, because you know there's going to be someone who's like, well, I want the chips, but I don't want the burger. Can I get extra chips?
Yeah.
No. There was this thing they did in Spain a little while ago for singles, where apparently supermarkets, there was this thing where if you were single and you put a pineapple in your trolley, then other people who were single would know, and then they could meet you at this shop. I mean, it's so complicated. Where you might go there for the 11 Rand burger. I think most people would. They're not really interested in like meeting somebody and having a romantic moment or whatever. They're like, 11 Rand from getting the burger. And that's a good deal. Let's just face it. Even though you say you don't trust
it just reminds me, like, I mean, I love our country so much, but I don't think there's a country in the world that loves a special more than Africa.
Yes,
like,
we love a special.
We love. Like, remember when Black Friday and Saturday first started? Like, with those queues and like people like,
dude, they'd push, rushing. They'd push the windows of the shop down
like
to get in there.
And it's
like for a 5 Rand off of groceries.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, no, it's, I mean, we love a special. It makes you laugh. Like, it's easy for us to get like, suck it into 11 Rand. Because like, you're like, because my thing is like, how good is this burger? Like, you get to a point, like, I remember when I was in varsity, classic old Cassie's, as it was called in my varsity, and they used to have like this 12 Rand.
Where were you at varsity?
NMU. So it was like 12 Rand 50 for burger and chips. It's like 2011. That, even then, that didn't seem like a good deal.
No.
And I was broke in 19.
Yeah. But you still knew
like
this.
Like, now as an adult, I was working. It's like, I just don't think I should go. But also, like, again, we love a special so much. It was pissing with rain on Monday. People are standing
there. And they're
there,
lining up,
lining up. Because I might think if I line up in the rain,
it better be amazing.
No, it was a bit of in stock. Like, I'm going to be gutted if I get inside.
Oh, God, you mean, like, there could have been. I mean, there could have been.
They said, well, stock's lost. It means, I don't think they're making, like, 1,000 patties.
And it's probably... It's the off cuts from the last couple of days, right? So some of it's maybe, who knows?
So maybe Muse Cafe is thinking like, you're going to buy a 11 Rand burger, then you say you're going to stay. But I'm like, I don't think you're going to stay. It's like, because I mean, like, you know, people are like, well, I'll get there early. I'll get there 10.
Get your burger, get out.
Get your burger, get out.
Right? You're not going to hang around and have a beer with your friends.
No.
You'd be like, let's go. We've only got, between us, we've got like 33 Rand. There are three of us. It's exactly 3 burgers. We don't have
maybe
any extra.
Maybe that's why they're single. All those people.
Because they're cheap. Yeah.
Just go see
that's quite probable.
Oh.
All right. So, shame. Jimmy Kimmel. You know, we were talking about celebrities last week who are going to leave the United States if Donald Trump wins. Well, Jimmy Kimmel seems like he's serious. He actually means business. He reckons, look at this, January 20th will be his last show. He says, I'm leaving for Europe the next morning and never coming back.
She got to Australia. There's quite a few people there. I mean, like, then lots of people not
Jimmy Kimmel. Do you think anyone is going to miss him? I mean, no one's watching these shows anyway. Their ratings are absolutely at an all-time low. And this one that I took a screenshot of even says good riddance.
I mean, like, is it like leaving? Do you not find it strange? Like, America's a weird place. Like, this whole election thing I know you spoke about last week is you know, like whether we support Trump or Kamala Harris, but like Jimmy Kimmel coming out and saying something, it's not going to change my vote, my opinion.
No, exactly.
Because like it got to a point where like people are like, if my favorite celebrity does not come out and say who they're voting for,
I don't think anyone thinks
I'm not going to vote for.
Like, there's no one who was waiting for Taylor Swift. It was like some, well, maybe Taylor Swift, because yeah, there's some girls, you know, the ones with the gums. And, anyway.
But like, if he's going to leave, he's like, okay, like there'll be another girl who comes with another late.
I don't think anyone's sitting there going, unless my favorite actor says they're endorsing this person, then I don't know. I'm still undecided.
Is Jimmy Kimmel fan going to leave?
No. And why does he have to say, the guy's got a good life. He's got an easy, I mean, he's got this show, right? Which it's been his whole life. Jimmy Kimmel has put his blood and his sweat and his tears into this show. Now, I have no time for Jimmy Kimmel. I don't think he's very funny, but the guy's worked hard. He gets a primetime show. Sure, no one's watching, but he's still being paid, I don't know, $1 million an episode or something like that. Now he's gone and made this dumb gamble. He's like, well, if Trump wins, I'm going to leave the country. If he doesn't, people are going to be like, we can't trust you anymore. Your word is worth shit. But now, if he does want to be trusted, he has to leave. So he has to get up. He has to go off to Europe. And sure, he's made lots of money. I don't think he's worried.
For his family, it's like, by the way, guys, we're moving now. Yeah,
his kids are like, we just started to like the people we're at school with.
No.
Now they have to go. Sorry. Daddy made a stupid bet on TV about an orange man, and now we all have to up and leave. So get ready to learn some Italian, children, because that's where we're headed.
Yeah, we go.
Jimmy Kimmel, what an idiot.
Wow, this is weird to me. Like, you know, like the States, like, I mean, whoever you support, right? I mean, like, I want to say, like, so you wouldn't lose the person you
sure
vote for, wouldn't lose the election. Like, you could just sort of stay there and be like, okay, you know what?
Just be quiet.
Be quiet. Or I'm going to hold the person in power accountable, more accountable. Like, he says this and...
It's like all these people who we've been watching for the last week who are melting down because Donald Trump's president. They're shaving off their hair. They're doing really stupid shit, right? I mean, like, there are even some people who've threatened to commit suicide and all terrible stuff. Instead of just being quiet, carrying on with your life, chances are you're never going to meet the president. Chances are you're never going to have anything to do with him. Chances are it's not really going to affect your life that much. Just carry on. It's like me saying, well, if Patricia DeLille doesn't make it to Parliament, I'm going to chop off my cock. What a terrible idea, right? Just shut up. Just carry on. No one's going to notice. No one's going, you know, we haven't heard from Cooks or Gareth in a while, unless they tell us who they're voting for.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one's asking.
But I just, every time, I just got, like, you know, you won't watch a debate.
No.
You won't, like, you know, maybe like listen to their policies. And my
just
thing is
it.
Like,
just stop it.
You can have issues with everyone. I mean, like that's how I said that. My thing in the States. I mean, I won't say like I dive deep to, but I just found it so strange from both sides.
Yeah, of course.
Where it was like everyone was like waiting for like I need my favorite celebrity to step up and tell me who I need to vote for. So like, why don't you just like watch it like a president? There's like five debates with it. Like, there's ways.
Do we even have celebrities who'd be interested in their political opinion? I don't think we do in this
I hope
country.
No one wants to listen to my political opinion. So I'll probably lead you astray.
So this is interesting. We were talking about fake news last week too. And it seems like there's this profusion of sites, online news. And I say news advisedly, right? These are news sites that just basically they print whatever is said on social media. And then they you kind of draw you there with clickbait. Mm. So I was complaining about how some things that I said on the show in the last couple of weeks, which have been non-controversial, they really have. If you listen to them from beginning to end, you'll be like, okay, well, that's not a wild and dangerous opinion, right? And then I saw this story about Anele, and I thought, well, this is what they do now, is they basically listen to her show or they listen to my show, or they just publish what we cut and clip from the show afterwards. So they're not even doing any work. Look at this story, for example. Talk about a nonsense story. So from cars to vacations abroad to free transport, here's all the perks media personality Anele Mdoda offers her hired help. So I know what's happened here, okay? I didn't hear it, but I can pretty much guarantee. And these, how pathetic this South Africa, the 33 comments and 2 shares, 412 likes. It's not even big. Here's what happened. Anele went on her show. She has a morning show.
Yeah.
And she probably spoke about, you know, what's appropriate. Do you pay for your staff if you have domestic staff? Do you pay for them to get from A to B? What kind of perks are involved? Why would it be nice to work for you? And of course, I don't say this for Anele, but I'd say it for a lot of people in media. They lie. They say, oh, no, well, I give my my domestic worker, I give her 700,000 rand a year. They lie. They're talking shit, right? Because they want to seem like they're good people.
Mm-hmm.
They want people who are listening and people who watch their shows to think they're very nice, good, decent people. So I'm not saying this is true for Anele. She's probably just talking about it because they have to make a show every day. And that's very classic kind of radio. It's like, let's talk about this or this. They've got topics. It's not like you and I arrived here. We're like, well, what the fuck are we going to talk about? They have to have a plan because now everybody on the team has to come up with their part of the story so that they can all have something to say. So what happened here is Anela's doing a show. Great show. She's very good at it. She talks about this. This is some topic that they've planned for the show. And now these guys who supposed to run a news site, it's fake news. They just take that straight from her show and they make it their story.
Well, they'll take like a sentence. Which is,
it's pathetic.
It's like, it's like,
right?
It's one thing I hate about social media in terms of get like it's, you know, it's, they know like this clickbait thing is it's the worst because you're right. You can take, there's no context in social media, right? That's all it's something like, you know, people get in trouble. Someone sees an old tweet or something. It's not, like context doesn't matter in social media. But you just see like.
Correct.
You just, it's all you see is a headline.
Right.
And some people might even read the full story. They might just go share like, oh my, like.
You sure, can see that. That.
I mean, and I, you go, but it, like, for example, like you said, like maybe what she said, it could have been like a 10-minute segment. But sure. Someone's taking 30 seconds of it.
Correct.
Or she made a joke in there. And it drives me like insane because like the thing is then like a lot of people won't necessarily, a lot of people subscribe to that site. So that's how they get their news. They don't know anything else. They refuse to know anything else.
I feel very sorry for anybody who's going there for their news.
But people fall into clickbait. Like it's like on Twitter, I see it all the time. I mean, someone just, you can just put any small thing to, oh, was it, you just bait someone and it happens and you're like, You've ruined your whole
this
morning.
This is kind of why we should not consider the people that you interview at rugby matches, the drunk ones, as a good poll of South Africa.
Yeah.
So these are people who are there. They're having a few drinks. They're enjoying the rugby, but they don't. You don't ask them about solving Einstein's theory of relativity, right?
Yeah.
The grand theory of everything. You don't ask these people if I have 5,000 rand and I need to spend on X, Y, and Z. These are drunk people. They're not going to make good decisions.
Or like, or take everything you get from social media, like, or in the internet and like as true.
Yeah.
Just all I say, like, just maybe if you read something, maybe go to a second source just in case.
Yeah,
like,
well, exactly.
Just like double check on what you, before you like you spread it and tell someone.
And doesn't this worry you too? Because we know the internet's so full of bullshit.
Hmm.
But when you use like ChatGPT, that's using the internet as its source material. So there's going to be some bullshit's going to creep in, right?
100%. I mean, it's because it's essentially start to your thoughts. Like for some, like if you use like ChatGPT, like you've put like, please write me a speech. So it's essentially like your thought. You just put like points up. I know it's not actually like your speech as the internet thinks of what you say. That's why like internet fears me. Like I always say to people like, like, I guess sometimes you also speak at certain events. And I'm like, guys, I just speak shit and talk about sports. I don't think you really want me to speak about, like, you know, like quantum mechanics. I'm like, just because I made a joke about it.
What, you mean you don't?
Yeah.
Part of the reason we wanted you on the show this morning is so we could talk about quantum mechanics. Guys, did you not do your research here? It says here, Cooks is here to talk about quantum mechanics.
James asked me, and I just said whatever James gave in the show.
Okay, very good.
Once I get in the show, I was like, I need to get in the door. From there, it's a free-for-all.
Listen, in the next couple of minutes, we're going to speak to a woman. This is fascinating. Okay, name is Juliette Bryant. She was on Epstein's Island. Oh, really? She was on Epstein's Island. We were talking about the Diddy list earlier.
Listen, I think this is the original one.
Listen, this is real. I mean, I'm fascinated. So she's an author, businesswoman, an artist, and she loves animals. She grew up on a farm here in Johannesburg and found herself somehow on Epstein's Island. Dude, isn't that a story?
It's a wild place to find yourself.
Okay, so, I mean, let's talk, because she's written a book called The Dragon, The Apple, and The Butterfly. And we're going to find out what they all represent. It's about her experience with Jeffrey Epstein, her spiritual beliefs, and her research that led her down a rabbit hole, which she's still exploring. She hopes to finish the book soon. Okay, I'm fascinated. You got my attention, Juliet. How are you?
Hi, Gareth. Thank you for having me on. And hello, Cooks. It's really
nice to meet you guys. Very nice to meet you. Yeah, good. Listen, you've got to give us a little bit of time to digest this. I mean, this is a hell of a story. How did you grow up in Joburg and then end up on this infamous Epstein's Island? How did all of that happen? Give us the synopsis.
Well, I was born in Johannesburg. In Lone Hill, we grew up on a small holding. Then my parents got divorced and my mum moved us to Cape Town when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
Then after school, I started studying psychology and philosophy, and I started doing modeling on the side to earn money.
Right.
And the one night I went with a friend of mine, and a girl approached me and she asked if I was a model, and said that her friend Jeffrey Epstein was here with Bill Clinton, Kevin Spacey, and Chris Tucker. She said that he worked with Victoria's Secret, his best friend owned Victoria's Secret, Les Wexner.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that he had his own island in the Caribbean and he was like the king of America. So she asked if I'd like to meet him. So obviously I was, you know, very keen to meet him because I was, you know, I thought it would really help with my modeling career.
Sure.
So, and then we went along to Beluga restaurant and they were all sitting there having dinner and they were with South African government officials. I wasn't introduced to everyone at the table. There were about like eight of them sitting there.
Uh-huh.
And they all stood up and shook my hands, you know, Kevin Spacey, Chris Tucker and Epstein and Clinton. When Clinton shook my hand, he held onto it and started talking to someone for quite a while. It was very weird. I actually read something like that. I think it happened to Liam Payne with Diddy, where he held onto his hand for a long time. It was just very, very unnatural. You know, it was for about like 1 to 2 minutes he held onto my hand and then turned his head and started talking to someone else and just held on. And I was very starstruck. You know, I just turned 20 at the time. And so then the girl said that Epstein thought I'd be great for Victoria's Secret and they wanted to see my modeling book. So the next day, they asked me to go to the Cape Grace Hotel because that's where they were staying. And beforehand, they also invited me to go watch Clinton's speech at the Western Cape Peninsula Technicon.
Mm.
He gave a speech there. And, you know, it was a very sort of, you know, the hall was very basic. It wasn't the kind of place where you'd expect to see an American president giving a speech. And Kevin Spacey sat in front of me and he filmed everyone on a handheld device. You know, he just had a camera and he just went like this all around the hall, all the young people.
Yeah.
He was just filming everyone. I didn't understand why at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm amazed. And then after that, I want to pause you for a second there. I mean, this is, okay. So, no, relax. It's all good. I'm amazed because most 20-year-olds would have done exactly what you did. You're like, wow, I get the chance to meet a former president of the United States, a famous Hollywood, two famous Hollywood actors, and this guy who supposedly has all the money and all the connections in the world. I mean, most people would go, I'd be stupid to miss out on this opportunity. So I don't think there's any bad judgment on your part at this point. You get invited along, you get to see the former president speaking. And now you're being offered jobs in America. I mean, it almost sounds too good to be true, right?
Yeah, exactly. And also, let's not forget, in 2002, things were very different. We didn't have the internet, you know, just starting the internet. You couldn't, like, when I used to try Google Jeffrey Epstein, nothing would come up except for a man who did hair transplants. There was another Jeffrey Epstein. You know, he only actually started coming up online in, like, 2006.
Yeah.
You know, when with the first case had happened. So you know, then after that, I went in to the hotel and they'd staged a whole modeling casting. There were three women posing as modeling agents. The one was Sarah Kellen, the other girl was called Andrea Mitrovich. Apparently her current husband works at the Clinton Foundation.
Uh-huh.
And there was a third thing there, I think her name was Cindy Lopez, but I'm not sure. But I know the other two were definitely those ones because when I was taken there, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
But so they looked through my modeling book, and then they told me. And then while they were looking through my modeling book, while the whole casting was happening, Bill Clinton walked through the room and he said, "Hi, everyone." You know, he witnessed the whole casting, so it just seemed completely legitimate.
But and also, like, what's a former president doing at a modeling casting? I mean, already to me, this is like a bit strange. And you said when he held your hand, he's a bit strange because these guys. I mean, they are, you know. They're expert at kind of human communications. He was president, for heaven's sake. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, you're totally right. And, you know, it almost seemed like they were sharing a hotel room because he walked through, you know, it was like one of these big hotels. It was the presidential suite at the Cape Grace Hotel. So, you know, it seemed like they were sharing the hotel room.
Wow.
Because, you know, it had two bedrooms. So then I showed Epstein my modeling book, and he said he thought I'd be perfect for Victoria's Secret. And basically, within 2 weeks, they had me there. They'd arranged me a visa. Leslie Groff from his office started phoning to arrange everything. You know, I even have my diary from that year still because I keep things. And I packed my own towel and, you know, my modeling book and my modeling photos and some books to read. I was told I was going to be staying in New York.
Sure. So you get there, and how long does it take you to figure out that this isn't everything that they've promised?
Well, like, what happened is, you see, I got on the plane. I've never, ever left South Africa. I'd never traveled alone. So, and, you know, they told me not. I said, do I need to bring money? Because I obviously didn't have money at the time, you know. And they said, no, all the money for my flight and everything will be deducted from the work I do when I get there. So, you know, I got on the airplane. It was a long flight, of course, to New York. And, like, you know, I barely slept. I was so excited and just, you know, I just felt like all my dreams were coming true. And so when I landed there, there was a man standing with my name on a board, and it was like also surreal. And a black car, like, you know, drove me to the apartment through E66 Street.
And that's where his apartment was?
Sorry, Gareth?
Is that where Epstein's apartment was in New York?
His apartment was on 71st and 5th. Okay. This one was the modeling apartment. He owned a block of apartments where he used to house models.
Okay.
I think it might have been in his brother's name, the property. I can't remember from the research I did. But so, you know, I got into the apartment and I was just like starstruck. And I was, well, I'm not starstruck at that point, but I was just like, whoa, like New York's so different to South Africa. You know, it was so busy and buzzing. And I was just like, oh my God, I was so excited.
Yeah.
Anyway, after about 5 minutes, the phone rang. And it was the girl, Sarah Kellen, one of the ones from the casting. And she said, pack your things. We're going to the Caribbean. You know, pack a smaller bag. Because, you know, it was October the 17th when I arrived there. So New York was colder and Caribbean was obviously warmer. So, I mean, I hadn't even packed a bikini. I didn't take anything, like thinking I was going to a summery environment. Because, you know, the weather's different between
places.
So I packed a few things and I had a shower, and then the car came back and drove me to the private airport. I think it might have been Teterboro, but I'm not too sure.
Okay.
And then when I got into the airplane, he drove me to Epstein's private plane, and Epstein was sitting in the front right-hand side, and then Sarah Kellen and the girl Andrea Metrovich were sitting on the left-hand side, and he patted the chair next to him, like telling me to come sit there, and I did. And then the airplane took off, and then as soon as the airplane took off, he started like touching me in between my legs, and I froze in horror. I suddenly thought, oh my God, these people could try kill me. My family might never see me again. You know, it put me into a total panic, suddenly realizing that, you know, it wasn't what it did, you know, that I'd
been promised.
Basically completely.
It sounds horrific. Yeah, I mean, at this point, you're in too deep, right? I mean, you're on a plane. You don't know where you're going. You've just taken, you've been naive enough to take these people at their word. You think you're going to the Caribbean, but you actually don't know. You can't like phone your family. This is the era when there certainly wasn't a signal on a plane if you had a phone. And then you end up on this island. And I mean, you don't know what to expect here. This is the island that all of us have been reading about in the news. We've seen a couple of pictures of it. What does it look like there? And what is the place? Describe it to me.
Well, you know, it was also, I didn't actually have a cell phone there with me because you couldn't even do like roaming at that time. Well, you probably could, but I didn't have the money for that sort of thing. So I didn't even have a phone with me. But it was really, really beautiful, you know, to see the island and the ocean around there was very, very spectacular. And, you know, it was very like,
whoa.
But obviously I was petrified, you know, but the place was physically, it was a very pretty place. But then we landed on the island. Then I started getting called to his bedroom like 3 times a day.
Jesus.
And I was just completely, petrified. I don't even ever had 2 boyfriends before this, you know, so I was quite an innocent 20-year-old.
And I'm not going to make you undergo all of the obvious trauma that this must have caused. And for many years, this has probably been something you've been trying to deal with. You do art therapy and lots of other stuff. But I do want to know, these men who are now basically just predators and they're taking advantage of a young girl from South Africa who didn't know what she was in for, didn't expect all of this. Did you at that point just give up? You're like, okay, well, this is where I am. I've just got to do what I'm told. Otherwise I might never make it back home. How frightened are you? And how much do you have agency to be able to say no in a situation like this?
There was no saying no to Epstein. It was just not an option. And especially being trapped at a place like that. You know, the other frightening thing is that my name wasn't on that flight log. My name was on all the other flight logs with the flights I took, but that one, my name wasn't there. So if I'd gone missing, my family would have thought I just went missing in New York. They were such mastermind criminals and after having quite a few years of therapy, you know, I've started to realize that, you know, I almost had to create another personality to sort of deal with it. You know, mm-hmm. another side of myself had to, like, because I just couldn't cope with it. So what one does is you sort of, I realized I just had to go along with whatever they wanted. Otherwise I was going to be in great danger.
And how long did all of this go on for?
Well, the first time I was taken there was for 2 weeks. And then before he sent me home, he told me that he worked for the CIA. He had my family's name on a list. And he said that a girl who'd accused him of rape, he planted drugs in her apartment and had her sent to prison. So, you know, I took those all as very, very obvious threats. So, I mean, when I got home, I never told my family what happened until after he died. I never actually spoke about it until after he died. There was only one, an ex-boyfriend I had who I told what had happened. Because I really trusted him and he actually paid for me to see therapists in my 20s. But otherwise, I never spoke about what happened there until he died.
It must have been, very difficult.
So before I was sent home, he sent me off to have my teeth whitened and he sent me to Frederick for Kai to have my hair made lighter, like blonder. And then, he was still sort of acting like he was going to get me into modeling. And I was just also so, you know, the thing is being taken away by people like that can really, like I said, affect one very badly, being stuck with them for 2 weeks. You know, Ghislaine Maxwell was there. It was just very, very frightening. And I came back a different person, basically. So he took me back there. I think 4 times in total I was taken there. It was over an 18-month period and it was for 3 months in total. He took me to all the properties.
Good heavens. Okay, so on this island, is it just basically a bunch of famous people, very rich people, well-known names that we could all name from the news and so on, who just went there and then there was this bunch of girls who were basically just there for their pleasure. Is that because that's what we've been led to believe it was?
No, the media, that's the other thing. That's why I started speaking out, because the media is completely lied. As far as my story goes, I don't know how other people's stories went. But, the next day, another girl was brought in and she started giving him a blowjob in front of me and I ran away. I was, petrified. I never actually saw any other very famous men on the island apart from Michael Bay, I met at New Mexico Ranch, mm-hmm. you know, the movie producer.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I didn't see any, I saw at least 60 girls coming and going. I didn't see any girls being trafficked to any other men other than Epstein. You know, they were the staff and then also scientists. He'd often been having meetings with scientists.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any, the story. And also, you know, there were no parties, like there was no alcohol, you know, it was in the day when he was taking us into the bedroom. And yeah, it was just, it's not like what the media has told people, you know. And also as far as the whole trafficking story goes, who's actually being trafficked to who, you know, because there were two girls who said that they slept with Alan Dershowitz, and that's how they opened it up as a sex trafficking case. But both those girls actually retracted their statements.
Yeah. And we also we also know that the Prince Andrew stuff, you know, she's been very vocal about what happened to her. I think Victoria Joffrey or whatever.
Virginia, I've spoken to her before.
Oh, you have? And
you know, I haven't been in touch with her for 2 years now. I've been quite concerned. And, you know, that's the thing. They don't really want the girls talking to each other, it seems, you know, because they're 200 victims, but where are they all? And why are more girls not speaking publicly?
And
then also it's been alarming.
And Juliet, you were banned from X? You were banned from Twitter? What happened there?
Yeah, well, you know, another Epstein survivor I speak to called Sarah Ransom, she said that I must speak out for my safety. You know, mm-hmm. she said, because if you don't speak out, then people don't know who you are. Because I've mm-hmm. heard of 5 Epstein victims who've gone missing or died suspiciously. You know, like Carolyn, who testified against Ghislaine Maxwell, was found dead in a hotel room. She's one of the 3 girls who testified in the trial. And it took the media 6 months to put it there. And the only reason they put it there was because Sarah Ransom, you know, another Epstein victim, insisted that they put it there.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just been, there's been a lot of weird stuff going on with them sort of keeping people apart and, you know, with victims not speaking out in the media. And, you know, and then when I started speaking out, because I had a few safety concerns, you know, because I started, I did quite a lot of research. When they gave me the settlement money, I had time to sort of look more into what had happened to me, because, you know, there are weird things that happened with that when I was there.
Yeah.
And it sort of took me down a rabbit hole. You know, writing this, it wasn't meant to be a book. It was meant to be like, I wanted to put out a chart of like explaining everything. Because I've got an amazing friend called Sarah McCarthy, who's also actually writing a book about what happened. And she's a very clever girl. She does copywriting and has done work for HSBC, some big companies.
But Juliet, what do you mean by the things that you had to unpack that happened to you? Explain, just give me some idea of what that is.
Well, you know, like when I was taken there the first time, I saw him literally turn into something else in front of my eyes. Like he shapeshifted in the bedroom. It was freaky. And, you know, I can understand a lot of people would think, okay, this girl's a bit bonkers, or she was on drugs, but I wasn't on drugs and I'm not bonkers. You know, I saw this and I only saw it once. It was, you know, 22 years ago. He suddenly turned into like a sort of dragon alien creature with huge black eyes. And it was and when I was taken in the bedroom with him, that this happened, you know. And you know, David Icke speaks about all this stuff. That's actually how I first spoke about it publicly, because, you know, I did an interview with Richard Willard from Iconic, and he's a great guy. He's almost like Sherlock Holmes. He's, you know, he does a lot of research, and he asked me the leading questions, you know, about the book I wrote. Why is it called The Dragon, The Apple and the Butterfly? And then I had to tell him, because I saw Epstein turn into something. Just, it only happened once, but it's such a vivid thing in my mind, because it just, you know, it was very frightening. His head like just went really big, and then he had these big black eyes, and it was almost like an alien, like devil looking sort of thing with like horns. And it just I got, you know, that's another reason why I was, of course, petrified.
Sure, of course. Listen, you know? I mean, we've got lots of people who are extremely suspicious about the way that he is supposed to have died. You know, nobody really knows. There are still reports that he may have escaped. He may have got out. He may still be alive. What did you feel when you heard the news that he had died? And what do you think around, you know, all of these suspicious circumstances that have to do with his death?
Well, you know, I just couldn't almost believe it when he died, because I thought that he sort of ran the world. And I, you know, I couldn't believe that, you know, it was just like quite a shock. You know, and also with regards to seeing the shapeshifting, I just wanted to bring up also that, you know, Kathy O'Brien has spoken about this, you know, because she was a MK Ultra sex slave within the Bush administration. And also Jeanette Arch is another person who's spoken about shapeshifting.
Yeah.
Also, you know how The Simpsons predicts things. The Simpsons also, there's one where they go and they pull the mask off the president's heads and they're suddenly reptiles. You know, there's a lot of weird stuff around all of that.
Yeah.
But sorry, what was the other question?
No, so his death. I mean, did you find all of that suspicious?
Yeah, well, it was just, you know, it was just very, very, just what was going on. It was just very weird, you know. And also in New Mexico, I saw like a UFO in the sky there. And that's when Michael Bay was there at the same time. And then I also have a memory where I woke up in a lab, was paralyzed on a table, naked, with people, like, you know, six people in hazmat suits standing around me and a doctor, sort of. And then she said, don't worry, everything's okay. And I was out again. You know, and I've never had anesthetic as far as I know, so I don't really know how that works. But, you know, a friend of mine said that with anesthetic, you can have weird sort of things like that. And I just,
see,
you know,
I'm just concerned that when you, and I totally believe that you had these experiences. I mean, who the hell would I be to dispute them? But when people hear about shape-shifting and they hear about aliens, it's very easy for them to then discredit everything that you have to say and to call you some kind of kook, some kind of nutcase. And I'm sure you've had that before. How do you respond to people who say that to you?
Do you know what? I actually haven't had people say that much. You know, people have actually been amazingly supportive, but I can understand maybe the people that think that don't say it. But I mean, there have been like one or two people who, you know, didn't really, but it's just like, you know, also let's not forget that Tucker Carlson recently said that we're in a spiritual war. Yeah. You know, also he said that he was attacked by a demon mm-hmm. in his bed and woke up with scratches all over mm-hmm. him. You know, there's a lot more going on that people aren't aware of.
I'm very willing to accept this.
My mom is very spiritual, so maybe I grew up with the more sort of spiritual outlook on things. But the, you know, these are very much things that happened to me, and I want to be lie detected on it, actually. But guess what? No one will lie detect me.
Juliet, what's your plan from here on in? Because obviously, you had safety concerns. You want to write the book. The people who may be in a position to shut that down may still be around for all we know. It's an ongoing news story. It's all very, very complicated. How are you feeling right now about your own personal safety? What are you doing to overcome some of this? Because clearly it would rattle anyone. I mean, these are not experiences that anyone wishes on their worst enemy, and yet you've gone through them. What's your state of kind of mental health at the moment, emotional health at the moment? Have you had relationships since then? Because I'd imagine that's difficult.
Yeah, it's been very difficult coping with it all, you know, and my mental health is good. Obviously, I have days when I feel depressed, you know, as any sexual abuse survivor does. I'm also a single mom. I haven't had many relationships since then. It's sort of shattered me, to be honest. You know, and I haven't been able to have many relationships. You know, just coming back from a place like that can really do something to one. You know, and also what I wanted to mention as far as, you know, the laboratory and what I was saying with Michael Bay, you know, and also with you were asking about Epstein, did it look like the body you were asking earlier? You know, it didn't look like his body. You know, the photographs of the body, the ears were different. And also, you know, then you suddenly get onto the subject of human cloning. Because it's something that people say, oh, it's mad. Well, guess what? A ferret, a cloned ferret just gave birth the other day. It's on the news. You know, if they can clone a sheep, they can clone a human.
Yeah.
So, you know, 1996, they cloned Dolly the sheep. 1997, Bill Clinton banned the federal use of funds for human cloning. Bill Clinton, Epstein's friend. Michael Bay made the movie The Island about human cloning. Came out in 2005. I saw him at the New Mexico Ranch in 2004. When you see all the clones escaping in the movie, they're all escaping from a place like New Mexico. There's been many, you know, people talking about things being underground there. Epstein's ranch is also between Dulce and Roswell. You know, there's a lot of strange stuff that goes on in New Mexico with, you know, military projects and underground bases. We all know it's there. So, you know, people think that what I'm saying is crazy, then they need to do more research. But I also understand that a lot of people don't have the time to do research because people are stuck in the hamster wheel of life. People work so hard, they're looking after their families. They don't have time, you know, to look into this.
Well,
see, I've had more time.
Mo Rabbit in the comments says, considering everything that's happened in the last 5 years, I would not just dismiss anything straight off. So I think, you know, we do live in a very strange world, and there aren't explanations for so much of what's been happening around us. And people have found it a bit bizarre. Yeah. I mean, the last few years have been insane. And I don't know how you feel when you see, you know, Bill Clinton on TV for the elections going out there and campaigning for Kamala Harris. But do you, does it kind of stir up bad memories for you? Does it make you hugely uncomfortable to see people like him still out there free doing their thing?
I don't like seeing pictures of him at all. And, you know, also there's the Clinton body count. You know, apparently 56 of their friends committed suicide, and that's not normal. And Kevin Spacey, you know, he was put up for using people, and three of his accusers died within a year. You know, these were the men that I met Epstein with. It's quite clear that, you know, they, and these articles are on the news. You can see it. You know, it's put there in plain sight. But, you know, not many outlets put it there, but you'll find one or two that. And, you know, that's another thing with the media lying, you know. And then, as you were asking as well, when I started speaking out on Twitter and then they blocked my account, you know, and even on TikTok, they take away any video I put there. They say it's misinformation. And the thing is, how can they say it's misinformation when they were not there? I was there. They weren't there. They don't know if it's misinformation. You know, but they clearly don't want this information coming out, you know. And also when I was suddenly ready to speak to the media, because at first, you know, I was so shattered from everything. Then I felt a bit stronger, and I wanted to also, I realized that a lot of victims aren't able to speak out. A lot of them may be dead. So I wanted to speak for those who cannot speak. You know, and also you're asking where I want my life to go from here. I really want to try help people. That's what I always wanted to do. You know, there's so many people that get abused. And, you know, that's why also, like, even though what happened to me, you know, coming from a place like Africa where people are tortured and murdered, like, how could I ever feel like such a victim of abuse when there's so many worse stories going on here? You know, so I just really want to try and help people, because people shouldn't be treated badly like this. And also, I want to fight for freedom of speech.
Right.
Because as we can all see, the media lies.
Yeah. Oh, no, look, you're not gonna have any argument from me on that front. I do think it's very brave that you are speaking out. Are you worried for your personal safety? I asked you just now. I think you might have missed the opportunity to answer that. Do you go to sleep at night worrying they're coming for you?
Sometimes. I do get very worried for my personal safety, but I just, you know, take precaution. I've got Doberman doggies, and I live in a security estate. I'm very lucky for that. And, you know, I won't go to the beach alone with my little boy. I'll only go if we have, like, another adult with us. Because I've had quite a few, you know, weird things happen.
I think this is horrific. And I'm very impressed.
I also realize if people don't speak out, then we're all in danger.
Yeah. I think you're doing a good thing by telling this story. And frankly, we've heard lots of other stories. We've heard lots of denials. We know that Ghislaine Maxwell is currently locked up in New York, and she's meant to eventually be sentenced. She's eventually going to be tried on all these various counts. Do you see any kind of justice on the way or not?
Well, I think it's like what I started to realize recently is like a domino effect, because, you know, they got Bill Cosby, they got Epstein, Weinstein, they got Diddy. So it seems like it's like the domino effect. And also with the Maxwell family, you know how they used to own the media. You know, and her father stole 526 million or billion, and he stole money from 36,000 pensioners, not money from one pensioner, from 36,000 pensioners he stole money. You know, they're the criminals of the worst kind.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going to end up, but I do think that you telling your story is good. And I see lots of people in the comments saying, I believe her. She's telling the truth. It seems to me like you don't have an agenda on that front. But there are also people who are saying, oh, come on, you're embellishing things. You're here for publicity. What do you say to people like that?
I don't want publicity. I just want to try help, you know, and, you know, and it's just, I saw what I saw when I was there, you know, and you know, I won't ever change my story, and I'm not a liar. And, you know, I'm willing to answer any questions that anyone has to ask. Because I also understand, you know, when people weren't there and they didn't witness it, they also can think that, you know, I mean, I've had people saying that I'm AI or I'm working with some organization. That's absolutely not true. I'm a lone ranger. You know, I'm trying to help make a difference in any small way that I can. Because also, you know, with the whole Epstein story, there are many pieces to the puzzle. And if all the pieces aren't there, then how is it supposed, the puzzle supposed to come together? And with the victims not talking out, going missing suspiciously, you know, how's anyone supposed to know what happened?
Do you know of any other South African women who are, have been involved in this in some way or shape or form?
Sarah Ransom.
Oh, she's South African.
Yeah,
Okay.
She was taken there. A few years, like we didn't meet there, we only met afterwards because we had the same lawyers representing us. But you know, that's another weird thing is that the lawyers went through more of my information than they would with the murderer. They like went through every email I've ever written, every photograph I've ever taken. They had me medically analyzed by four professionals for 6 hours. Apparently they didn't do that to all the victims. It's very suspicious.
And you did mention a settlement earlier. So explain to me what happened there.
Yeah, with the Epstein Fund, you know, I was very grateful and very lucky to get a financial settlement, which has also, you know, enabled me to sort of focus on my you know, health and getting better from all the stress it's caused, and also to try and, you know, enlighten people and share the information that I can, and also the research that I've done.
Well, if anyone doesn't,
I have written the book, but I'm not a writer. So.
No, but I mean, if anyone doesn't believe that this happened to you, then surely that's proof positive. No one just hands out money in a settlement unless there's something that they want to make go away.
My diary, I've got photographs which I took from when I was there, and my diary, and I've got the negatives. It all got sent to New York and was all verified. You know, all my evidence got sent there, and I've still got it.
So how long before we get this book? I can see there are lots of people who want to read it.
Well, I'm working on it. You know, I'm hoping in the next like 2-3 months.
Okay. Well, listen, best of luck to you.
My friend's also writing a book, so her one will probably be better than mine.
I wish you the best of luck. I mean, it's really good to hear your story, and I think it's brave that you're doing this. And all I can do is send you kind of our best wishes to get this thing out there, tell the story now that he's no longer around, hopefully, who knows. Hopefully more of this will come up, and there'll be more people all over the world who'll start saying what you're saying and telling the truth.
Yeah, well, I just hope that more truth comes out, and I just hope that the world changes and that people are treated better, because, you know, you get rich slaves and you get poor slaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of rich people are actually slaves, and they just don't realize that they're slaves to the bank.
Jeez.
You know, and the way that the world's being run is just really not right.
So, all right, the book is called The Dragon, The Apple and the Butterfly. Epstein, The Dragon, The Apple and Butterfly. So he was the dragon. You saw him transform into a dragon. What's the apple and what's the butterfly?
Well, because I saw him turn into that thing, it took me, you know, I wasn't brought up to be religious. I come from a long line of Catholics,
uh-huh.
You know, we're from Ireland, but my mum, you know, my grandparents, great-grandparents, but my mum didn't take us to church. So, but we're very spiritual, religious in our hearts. You know, mm-hmm. I believe in the goodness of all religions. So I started looking into, you know, the serpent in the Garden of Eden, and then it took me to the apple, and oh my gosh, it goes even deeper. Then you suddenly get to bloodlines. Because then you realize that there are different, you know, kinds of people on this earth. Apparently, most of the American presidents are all Rh negative. The whole royal family are all Rh negative. But, like, only about 8% of people in the world are Rh negative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Elon Musk is apparently, all the people in positions of power are the same rare blood type. So the whole Garden of Eden took me down that. But, sorry, I'm, you know, it's quite complicated.
No, go on.
It's hard to explain it.
Go on.
Quickly, without people thinking a bit mad. You know, and then I started realizing more about the apple, because you get Apple computers, Apple in the Garden of Eden. Is Apple the downfall of man? You know, mm-hmm. Apple technology. You also have Isaac Newton. Apple fell on his head in 1666.
Gravity.
The first Apple MacBook sold for $656.66. You know, I wrote a whole chapter on apples. It just like, it's
wow. Weird. Okay. You
know, and it's a big symbol.
And the butterfly?
It seems. Well, the butterfly is because myself, Virginia Gaffer, and Sarah Ransom all used the butterfly symbol. I had a butterfly on my diary from 2002. before they took me there. Sarah Ransom has a blue butterfly tattoo, and Virginia Giffey uses the blue butterfly as her Twitter logo. So I did more research into it, and I'm still trying to work out what the butterfly means exactly. But what I did start to realize is that the butterfly could represent the hips. So I think maybe, you know, if they do have underground things, they could have been taking eggs, because they had the Butterfly Trust as well, which they started in 2016. Epstein started the Butterfly Trust to pay off victims and accomplices. So I don't know if the Butterfly Project was some sort of project of them taking eggs for cloning facilities, or, you know, you know, I don't have proof of that, but I'm just, it's the only thing that's really making sense, considering they're trying so hard to cover something up. You know, so that's where the butterfly comes in. And I guess it's also a symbol of transformation. You know, I suppose it's hard to explain in a sentence, because it's, you know, there's a lot of different explanations that one can look at.
We need this book, Juliet. Get to work. We need the book.
I'll get to work.
All right. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I'm fascinated. I mean, it seems like you've opened a bunch of rabbit holes here too. So now we're going to have to get into all of that. But thank you.
And I'm really sorry if any of it comes across as a bit crazy. This is actually one last thing I want to say is, you know, when JP Morgan paid, apparently they had $1 billion worth of human trafficking through theirs and Epstein's accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was a settlement and JP Morgan paid $290 million to human, you know, for people who were sex trafficked.
Mm-hmm.
But why are no victims' names on the flight logs, and where are the victims? Because, you know, if they were paying money for people who were trafficked, then where are the names of those who were trafficked?
Yeah. We don't know.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you see, if they were taking eggs or something else, then what were they actually trafficking? And why they all cease to move around a lot? Anyway, there's a lot more going on. And I'm really sorry I don't have more answers.
No, we can all find them together. Listen,
that's fine. I feel like this is good, because there may be some brilliant people out there who can help.
I am very, very pleased that you had the courage to come and speak to us. That's that can't have been easy. So we don't expect you to have all the answers. And thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day.
And you, Juliet. Cheers.
Thanks so much. Bye.
That's quite a that's a hell of a story, hey?
Jeepers. Just scary with the world we live in, hey?
So Ben Karpinski says in the comments here, we need cooks to do a post-interview. We need a post-mortem.
A post-mortem.
There are lots of people in the comments here saying that we need to break this down. We need to figure this out.
I mean,
shape-shifting, the apple allegory and all the symbolism of the apple.
I throw my iPhone away.
Listen, dude, I mean, you know, you can go down all of these rabbit holes. You can become a complete conspiracy theorist. But what we figured out in the last while, as per one of those comments earlier, is a lot of the conspiracy theorists have turned out to be more right than the people who were telling us don't believe the conspiracy theories.
But like you said, like, I mean, the last couple of years, I mean, you look at all these things that are happening. I think a couple of years ago, we all saw there's some scary, like, things happening that we never paid attention to. And all these things are sort of coming to light. And there's more things coming to light. And it's scary. And, like, I mean, I can't imagine what you're going through. I mean, that is...
Jesus. Well, take off your blinkers, naysayers, says Propaganda. Congo Chris says, hush money doesn't mean people are trans-dimensional dragon aliens. Shut up and get a grip. So there's all kinds of opinions here. Simulations is, it's Puza Wednesday. Now I need a dop, says Dudley. Sounds like she spent her youth in bathtub acid. Listen, there's no need for anybody to be horrible to her. She came here to tell us her story. You don't have to believe her, but... I don't see any reason to attack the woman. We need to end on a light note, please. All right. Well, the lights seem on. I don't know what you expect. James and Flex are going to make a bakuzi for Friday's show. So that's the light note we'll end on.
We've got the beer over here.
Listen, Cooks, thank you so much, dude, for coming to spend some time with us this morning. I've got to figure out, like, after that interview now, like, I've got to sit down for 5 minutes and just try to distill what the hell we just heard.
I'm going to go down the rabbit hole and watch you on the documentary. This is my day is going to go now. But no, okay,
there's a lot of stuff here that doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. There's so much crazy shit going on in the world.
I think there's more coming.
This is not even the craziest.
Yeah, I think there's still more things coming up.
All right. Well, dude, thanks for coming to spend time with us.
Yeah.
Really good to see you. And we'll check in with you on Supersport.
100%.
And make sure you follow this man on all of his social media. Give us the handles and things so that we know.
Yeah, it's Cookie underscore Kuhle, K-O-O-K-I underscore Kuhle, K-U-H-L-E. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Yeah.
Awesome. We will see you on Friday at 6 a.m. Be good. Ciao.